Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted,
the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
This is Graham McTavish, and you are listening to Ginger and Summer on the Outlander podcast.
Welcome to episode 102 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/outlanderpod. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
So, announcements. We got one new cast member this week.
Claire has a friend.
Claire does have a friend. Louise
de Rouen.
That one. has been cast. And the lovely Claire Simoni. I don't know how to pronounce that.
If it is pronounced like the double N-E in bun and Sorbonne, it's Sermon.
What she said. This is going to be a lot of this in all of our announcements.
It's going to be such this a fun book. Year. Oh, the book's already been like this.
I know, but we don't say the characters' names that much when we do our read-along.
It's mostly not first names after.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So, welcome, Claire. Another Claire.
There's a lot of Claires.
A ton of Claires. In this production. There's the herbalist. There's the trauma Claire.
Yeah.
There's Claire.
Well, now there's this one, too.
Yeah.
We also got an image from the Outlander Stars Instagram account. It is the lovely Lotte Verbeek with a giant umbrella. And this is an old picture, is it not?
Well, it's new to us.
Well, yes, yeah,
but it was shared very recently on her birthday.
But it's a shot from last season.
Yes, during the filming of season one.
And our other shot we got from Outlander Instagram was of Sam Heughan leading a horse. That's about all there is to say. Sam Heughan and a horse.
And the caption was, "Sam Heughan certainly knows how to work the camera." Which, I mean, yeah, he does, but
by not looking at it. I mean, that's the most important thing when you're filming a show with a third wall. And that is announcements this week. They are very briefly coming in, the announcements. I think they'll get harder and faster. That's awful. There'll be more and more of them as we get, you know, really rolling into the season. But, you know, they're just kind
into
of...
into the production.
Production yeah. of the second season. They're coming. But it's actually kind of good. It keeps our announcements a little brief. So I don't know about you guys, but I love reading. I mean, I don't think we would have started this podcast if I didn't love reading. But I do know that as life gets busy and things start happening in life, I have less and less time to actually sit down and crack open a book.
Uninterrupted.
Yeah. Oh, I can't do anything uninterrupted.
That's true.
Ever. Like, literally, name it and I'll be like, nope, interrupted.
I agree completely. Whether you have kids or whether you don't, life gets busy. You have your commute, you have your work day, you come home, you have chores, you have to make dinner. We all get it. In some way or another, we all suffer from a lack of time. We all have 24 hours in a day, but we are not always sitting on our backsides being able to read.
It's true. And the first thing that tends to be, you know, pushed aside is reading, because that's something that literally takes all of your attention.
You would hope so, because the whole point is to be drawn into this other universe.
Exactly. And this is what's so great about audiobooks.
You can pop it in or push play on your MP3 player, whichever device you have, or stream it on your computer, and you can cook dinner. You can listen to it in the car safely, we hope. You can do your chores. You can take a bath, as long as it's far safely away. You can do things, get things done, keep your schedule, and still listen to your favorite story or to a brand new one.
So Audible's got a really great offer right now.
They do. Take it home to the audiobook girl. Tell us about it.
Well, point is that there's a 30-day free trial period to check out their service. And they're also offering, within that 30-day free trial, a free audiobook download.
That's worth it right there.
I mean, I am an Audible member, period, so the money goes out of my account every month. I don't even notice. And then I come back and I was like, oh, look, I've got credits. So mm-hmm. I wait for something to come around and, like a book series that's got multiple books coming around and I wait for them to come up and I'm like, it's available. And then I'm like, I use my credits. So I save up my credits. I'm kind of like a miser with my credits. I save them and hoard them until something I really want comes around.
So while you can go to audible.com and download the audiobook of your choice, Summer and I, being part of the Outlander podcast, however, must recommend one of the Outlander series books or the Bulges. So we recommend the original, the book that started it all, Outlander.
Now, you could just go to audible.com, but we're going to save you some time. We have a little link on our website if you want to go and click that.
We have a little image that will link you straight to our secret site, if you want to call it that, our special code that Audible created just for us, just for our listeners. Or you can navigate to audibletrial.com/outlanderpod. Again, that's audibletrial.com/outlanderpod for your free audiobook.
And now on to part two of our Pod Abroad. I would have thought I would be saying the conclusion of Pod Abroad. Unfortunately, that would be a lie. We sat down to work on what we thought would just be the second half / conclusion of Pod Abroad, and in an hour, we got through one day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And we had to like call it quits because it was going
it
too
was late.
So
this is turning into a multi-part excursion.
So basically what you hear today is not the end of Pod Abroad. We have at least one more, maybe two, depending on how verbose we all are.
You mean you.
Sometimes.
Generally.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy Pod Abroad Part 2. Of who knows how many. So we're back to talk about Pod Abroad, part deux.
No, we were not in France.
Should be part ya.
Oh, is that two?
That's two.
Oh, man. I'll say part deux or part zwei or two. But we get it. It's the number two.
Part two.
insert the number two in your language. How did Monday end again? Was it a late night? I think everything was late night, but we ended with Ross and Glenn, right?
Yes.
And McDonald's. Okay, so then we went to bed late. Was that the night of Cards Against Humanity or was that Sunday?
I believe that might have been Cards Against Humanity.
Monday? Okay. So we're on to Tuesday.
Well, it was the night of the Apple Bros.
And I had peanut butter cookies.
Well, Apple Bros was like four nights.
No, but that was the night that we made the Apple Bros.
Yeah, that we made it that morning. We drank it that night.
Oh. Well.
Yes.
I tried a little bit. It actually is a really good coffee creamer.
Did
you try it?
I did because I wasn't driving. And
Mandy's like, you bitch.
I didn't put a lot in there because...
You had enough.
Stop it. It was
no,
the morning.
No, I mean you had enough of what you needed.
I didn't want to drink it by itself.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of honey and a lot of...
sweet.
Whiskey and a lot of... cream. So I didn't really want a lot in my coffee. And even I usually drink my coffee black, but I wanted to kind of splash a little bit of something in there. So I decided I would put a little bit of the Apple Bros. And it was actually kind of tasty as part of my coffee.
One of my favorite ways to drink whiskey.
One of your favorite ways? I think it's your only way.
No, she drinks it the other way.
She does. She does. But I think she prefers it, which I totally understand, as Apple Bros.
Well, I did until this most recent trip to Scotland. And I think you'll find out in the podcast.
Yeah.
Now her favorite way to drink whiskey is on the couch with a nap following.
No, I think she... Oh, well, or that. I think she likes to watch it. She likes to watch it, too. I think she likes to drink whiskey in a pub in Scotland surrounded by friends.
Absolutely.
That would be
That's
the number
the
one.
Way.
And then the number two is... Home alone with no interruptions with a nap following. That's how I like to drink.
No, that's
mine.
Number three. Number two
number three
is in a pub with a lot of music and Gaelic going on around me, tweeting with people.
Aww.
Oh, yes, yes.
Aw, you're going to make me get the tear prick. Oh, my goodness.
I really hate that term. I wish you could come up with a new one.
Help me. Nose prick?
Nope. I want you to not use the word prick.
Leave the prick out of it.
You're missing the point. Man is like, Ginger, you're missing the point. It's the prick.
Yeah. Can we leave the prick out of
it? Or it's not the prick. We don't want the prick. Okay. So we started that morning with Newton Moore, correct?
Yes, we did. Only we were too early.
That's right. And we get back, we go up to pay to find out. And wasn't there like one other car there?
Yes, there were some other people there too.
And were they also, they were kind of milling around, but they didn't, I mean, no one got in, but did they go back to their car as well?
I think so.
Because it was a little chilly. It wasn't raining, but it was a little chilly, right?
It was a little chilly, and it was one of those, it was like drizzling every couple of minutes.
Oh. So we go up to try and find out. Actually, there was no one even in the little tiny booth area where to get your stuff, right? They were still not even ready for anyone. So we found, someone asked us or someone said, oh yeah, they opened at what, I think it was 10:30?
Yeah.
Which for us yes, we had to drive a little bit, but for us who started our morning so early and the whole intent, again, long sunny days, you get more stuff done, you can drive longer, more safely, and you can pack stuff in as long as it's not, you know, closing early. For us, it's like, we're like, 10:30? Are you kidding?
No, I think what we actually said was, wait, we have time for a nap.
Exactly.
And we all went back to the car and took a 30-minute nap.
I did.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's right, because we weren't driving.
We were in a parking lot. It was safe.
We were stationary. So we all three got a nap. Now, I did not sleep 30 minutes straight. I woke up every, like, probably 8 minutes or 5 minutes. Like, not fully, but, like, in and out of sleep. But I definitely rested. And I think it's the same kind of sleep I kind of had all week. There were definitely times when we went to bed that I definitely, you know, I had solid sleep. But I never slept for more than, like, 3 hours without waking up. It was just, when you're only there for a week and a half, you just can't get used to the time, even though you do your best.
And not me.
Now, Mandy was old hat by this point.
Now, I'm going to say that I actually think that I adjusted rather well to the time change.
Oh, I did as well as I could.
It was harder for me coming home.
Yes.
That was difficult. It was more difficult than I thought it would be. But I think, again, coming off of 3 months of not really good sleep, both of us, going to Scotland where we knew it would not get better, but where, again, Mandy's advice on do what you got to do, but just don't. We'll get you coffee. We'll get you a shower. Just do not sleep when you get there. And seriously, it is the best advice. It gets you off on the right foot right away.
But what I found was trippy was that...
When you fell?
No. I didn't fall.
I don't know who fell. Did anyone?
No. What I found trippy,
sorry, Mandy,
in not in a falling way, was the fact that people...
In an LSD way.
No. People, my friends back in America that I was Facebooking and tweeting with and talking to, they were all awake right before I went to bed so I could end my evening talking to them. And then because I was waking up at like 5:30 every morning, they would still be awake. So I would be texting, tweeting, and talking to them at like 5:30 in the morning. So I would get them right before they went to bed and like right before I went to bed. So it was like this weird kind of paradox place to be. I'm like, well, you guys are still awake? And they're like, you are awake already? So
it was really weird. I know we were there for a short time, so it's not like we could have gotten used to it, really, truly gotten used to it, but oh my goodness, it was kind of nice. Don't get me wrong. Would we have liked or appreciated a little more connectivity in the Highlands? I mean, we definitely would have been tweeting more or doing more. I actually am kind of glad we didn't have it because we focused on what we were there to see and do. When you don't have an option of being on social media, you actually are able to enjoy the sights and the activities more, I believe.
And we had connectivity when we needed it. Just about anywhere we stopped, eat, or...
Absolutely. We were not in Podunkville. We got it whenever we needed it. Good Lord. We got it every night. We had it in the morning. We had it at McDonald's. We had it wherever we had it at least once or twice in the middle of the day, right? Like whether we went to a cafe or... Whatever we had internet connectivity.
I know you're talking Wi-Fi, but for me that also coffee qualifies because I had it in the morning. I had it at McDonald's.
And
I had it everywhere we stopped.
And Mandy just had tea everywhere. I think, she had tea and Diet Coke.
Yep.
And I think, yeah, I had a little of that too. More Diet Coke than tea. The good thing is, though, would we have, if you would have asked us a black and white question, would you have liked more? Well, I mean, sure. Who wouldn't like to have it at their fingertips whenever they want it. I get it. But it was so nice to kind of be in the middle of nowhere, you know, in the Highlands and driving around. And not, we would say like, oh man, it dropped out. Because you would literally go around a glen and not have it. Or have it in a wide open space and then be between a mountain and not have it. Like,
okay,
within like a mile.
Be honest, once we got outside of Glasgow and Edinburgh, we mostly didn't have connectivity.
That's true. So we didn't have much. Yeah, it would have been cool. We totally enjoyed all of ourselves.
Nope.
We know only part of ourselves. We enjoyed everything we did. And my point, going back to what Summer was saying about the time difference and your friends and family and everything being in America, with the time difference, in an odd way, it was so nice to be done with our day, to come home, even though we were staying up a little bit late, to come home and just kind of, you know, vegging for a half an hour to an hour and a half or whatever it was, and then putting up photos or then talking about what we had done. Because people in America, I don't think people were alive. People were awake. They were responsive. It was the perfect time difference. It was really nice.
It was
trippy, but it was really nice.
But the one thing I would say about the connectivity that we were just speaking of is the fact that we did not have enough service to check anything, but apparently we would have just enough service to give us notifications.
That was funny.
Which was the most maddening thing ever. I'm like, wait, I got a tweet. What is it? I can't read it. I don't have enough service.
But we did eventually actually get into the Folk Museum.
We did get into the
Folk Museum.
So after our nap.
After our mini power naps, we got up and, I mean, I think we were not the first ones. People got in there before us, but who cares? So we got in, we paid our...
It's a donation. It's actually free, but it's a donation.
But we're always going to... Dude, if we're there, we're going to always pay a donation. I mean, if we can't afford much, we're going to give a pound.
Right, just for anybody listening, I wanted to let them know it's free.
Absolutely.
There's no charge, but they do ask for donations.
Absolutely. And we also, I don't want to say strongly urge, because I don't want it to sound too strong, but whenever possible, it would be awesome if you have a place like that that's free. You know, even if you just have the change that you're not going to use, I mean, dude, you know, they'll take anything. It's just, it's really nice because it's a, was that an NTS?
It's its own independent entity.
Ah, so it's not even associated
but
with
I really like the idea that with all the outlanders coming from abroad to visit, that it can have a positive impact. Because it's...
Oh, my goodness.
I can already tell, since having been there last fall, how much they've been able to upgrade and really started making improvements.
Oh, my gosh. Now you're going to make me tear frick again. That's amazing. I didn't even think, Summer. It's okay. That's amazing. I mean, the idea, we had talked about that, how basically any place we had gone... And a few of the places we didn't make, all the places that are possible to get to are currently feeling that influx, the result of Outlander, the Outlander effect. I think it's awesome. But when you hear like this, especially something like Newton Moore that's not affiliated with National Trust for Scotland or Historic Scotland, and they're on their own, it's even more sweet, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So what did we see at Newton Moore? What was that? What was the big Outlander tie-in?
That was the they have the 1740s township there that was used for the Rent episode.
Oh, that's right.
Where the wool walking and
exactly.
the little blacksmith shop where Lieutenant Cutie was doing blacksmithing.
Did I call him Cutie or Cutie Pie? I think.
I just said Cutie.
Oh my goodness! Yes, Mr. Tom Brittany did his thing there, and that was the first time we saw him, right? And
we didn't see him at all at the town.
No, in the show.
In the show, yes. Like, he wasn't there.
Darn.
No, they just built him a little shack to go stand in when you're ready.
Now, you said that when you went the time before, they actually had redcoats there?
Yeah, I think it's at certain times of, I don't know if it's certain times of the week or times of the month, they have other additional reenactors come and participate. And so when Candida and I were there last fall, there was a redcoat interpreter there.
So you're saying like maybe 3 to 5 days a month there may be some redcoats there?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what the schedule is. But apparently Candida and I made quite the impact, because I talked to a friend recently who was talking to the folks at the Folk Museum about an Outlander event sometime this fall, I think. And apparently the story is still being told of the crazy Americans who had the red coat drag her down the hill.
That's so funny. Yeah, there were no red coats the day that we were there.
No.
So no one could drag anyone down a hill.
Just the one grumpy interpreter.
She was I think she warmed up.
I'll take your word for
it. Well, once she got the peat fire going.
I wouldn't know. I won't go in buildings with peat fires.
It's pretty pungent, the peat fire. It smells good from a distance, but I don't know that I'd want to be bathing in it.
It gets in your hair, and I'm telling you, it doesn't come out until you wash it twice.
That's to be said for almost any campfire, though.
Yeah.
When you go camping, you come back smelling like everything. And you don't notice it when you're in it, and then you get away from it, and you're like, you can't get away. And the idea of being trapped in a car
right.
with three of us smelling like that was all not something long. I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
So, yeah, and the reason the peat fires weren't lit when we got there is because we pretty much made the beeline for the 1740s township. Because they say it's a five-minute walk, but it's a Scottish five-minute walk, which means it takes me 15. So...
It wasn't too bad.
No, it's not bad, and it's a beautiful walk through the woods.
Yeah, it is a nice little thing. They had all these little carved animals that were, like, lining the walkway up there.
Oh, the cat.
The cat.
Yep. I swear I saw a cat. When we were driving up, I saw, because of the fences were, like...
The wildcat.
Metal. Yeah. You could see through them. They weren't wooden. Like, they were, like, wire or something. Someone had a cat in it. Did you guys tell me the cat in the tree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
But they also had, they were for the Scottish wildcats, I think, some sort of little, like, wooden figurines. But they also had some, like, owls and squirrels just off to the sides of either side of the path as you went up and came back down. But we apparently, most people, because there are things to see down by the entrance. There's, like, a gift shop and a place you can get tea. And then there's, like, a schoolhouse and a more modern... There was stuff going on there.
There was stuff going on that we didn't want to interrupt.
No, I think there were probably like a school class actually in there, like learning about it. But
and they had like
replica house.
That is one of the fascinating things that I see as I've been around Scotland and the UK in general. I think mainly because I do tend to visit in the shoulder seasons when school is still in session. But they really make an effort to get their school kids out and into these historical places. Which I think is so great, because I don't know about you, but I never got to go on field trips to really cool places like that living here.
Not that cool.
I mean, not Scotland, because we were not raised there.
We don't have that kind of history here.
Yeah.
Not that far. Not that goes that far back, really. But I think a lot of people, they expect them to spend a little time by the entrance and go into each of the little areas before they head to that 1700s. Whatever it is, 1740s, mm-hmm, whatever we call it. 1740s.
Yes.
Whatever, the township. So because we beelined it up there, they were not ready. And we startled a few of them, but...
I think just one of them.
Yeah. which might have made her a little bit grumpy, but she was clearly like, oh, you guys are here for Outlander, right?
At a certain point, you just stop being embarrassed and just say, yes, let's get on with it. Show us what we need to see. Because if we... I mean, I never ever took offense to it, but whenever someone asks us, oh, are you here because of Outlander? I mean, it's so quick, which, okay, I get it. I understand. We're American. We're female. I get it. We're in a strange land and it happens to be Scotland. I get it. I never was offended, but I was like a little bit put off or surprised, like, wait, is it that obvious?
Well, it's not like we were wearing Outlander shirts or...
Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness.
Or anything that I think should have designated us as being Outlander fans, other than the fact that we were females, Americans, and of a certain age.
Oh, good Lord. I don't even know what that means. Outlander fans are of every age now.
Now.
Well.
So that ended, and then we headed to Culloden?
Correct.
Did we go straight to Culloden from there?
We did go straight to Culloden from there. It was a nice trip, because from Pitlochry to Newton Moor was about an hour, a little over an hour. And it was about another hour, an hour and a half from Newton Moor to Culloden.
Okay, so we get to Culloden, we park, and obviously we're going to go out and look, or someone and I are going to go look at the battlefield. But we decided it's time for lunch, right?
Yeah, we were hungry first.
And once again, and this, I don't know if this is the first time we've talked about it, but it will be a theme of this trip, if you haven't already noticed, because I forget what happened the first few days, apparently. Whenever we're going somewhere and we have to get tickets or buy an item that we're all three going to do and then either go look at something or go eat or go sit down, I'm always the last one. And it's not just because I'm last in line. I don't mind being the third one. I'm always left alone everywhere.
We were hungry. Sorry.
That's totally fine. So was I.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what you did, but like We all went into that area together. Mandy
you
and
went
I
went straight to the register.
Mandy, and I, no, we went straight to the area where the warm food was.
Yeah, which is near the register.
But I think what you did was you went to the beginning of the line and looked at everything.
Yes, and they had I got soup.
Right. So by the time you got to the end of the register, when you were done looking at everything,
the start of the register.
Okay. By the time you got to the end of the soup, everyone else who didn't want soup had already cut in to get in the hot food line.
Yeah.
So that's why there were so many people ahead of you, whereas when Mandy and I got there was no line. Mm-hmm. We went straight to the hot food, got what we wanted.
And got our haggis. And
if it was normal.
Got our haggis, that's right.
If it was just a normal, whatever that means, a few people in front of me, and they had ordered or gotten whatever, and it could have gone maybe boom, 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 when I would have paid them and gotten back. But I not just wasn't behind you guys, because you guys, I think, would have been relatively quick. I got behind at least one family, and of course, an American family. I'm not speaking ill of Americans. We are Americans. We love our country. But one of the things that Summer and I have said, and I think Mandy, I don't know Mandy's philosophy, but because most of my travel has been solo or with one good friend, I do my best, because I'm already going to be standing out as a foreigner, whether I speak the language or no, it's definitely not my native language, whether it's German, French, or English, wherever I'm at. I'm already going to be a foreigner. I'm going to be an American. I don't want to stick out any more than I already do. So what I try and do, no matter where I go...
Find the Germans.
Oh, well, no, that's beside the point. What I try and do, no matter where I go, is to just not stick out. You already stick out a little bit. I try and not stick out. I try and stay away from Americans. Not because there's anything wrong with Americans. I love them. I live around them. I live in their country. I live in our country.
Oh, my best friends are Americans.
She said her best friends are Americans.
Oh, I have good American friends, good German friends, good Scottish friends, good Swiss friends. I mean, I'm like we are the world of friends. I mean, short of you guys, because obviously you guys, we're traveling together. So that's not even a concern. You guys, we're sticking together.
She's but only traveling with one good friend. I'm trying to figure out which one of us that is Summer. So.
It's not me. I'm family. I don't count.
Did I say one? No, I said typically in the past, I've traveled with one person. And I said, this trip with you guys, all bets are off because we're sticking together. This is completely different. I've never traveled in the threesome before. So I just do my best to stay away from Americans. It just sounds awful. But when I'm overseas, I don't want to be around American things because I live there. I want to be around the foreign people, the foreign experiences, etc. So when I got behind, when I got back up in line near the register in Summer, I mean, I didn't even worry about finding them. I could have looked. I looked for them once I was done. But I did look around and say, okay, they're not there. So I just was waiting. And waiting. I'm not lying. I probably waited 10 to 15 minutes behind these people. It was an American family. Again, nothing wrong with that. But they must have had like two or three kids. They all insisted on getting like this warm dish, this one dish. Oh, and can we have tap water? And oh, ice. Every single thing they... it just never ended. I was like, really? I want vegetarian haggis that's right there. It's already served up on dishes. No, it wasn't. But it was sliced. So, yeah. So this one wasn't their fault, as in they didn't leave me to my own. It was just circumstances that got an American family, I guess it doesn't matter what nationality, but an American family in front of me that took for damn ever. That's all. And I finally find them and get to the table, and they were like halfway done with eating.
Hey, I had that haggis millionaire shortbread. How much better does it get?
It doesn't get, well, vegetarian haggis, but yeah, it doesn't get much better. No, I mean, I was kind of being facetious, but no, they really had just, and I never would have expected them to wait for me, but dang it, it took forever. And I got, and they were, you know, they were nice enough to wait for me to finish, because I was...
Hey, well, we were in Wi-Fi.
That's true. No, I was in a hurry. They had Wi-Fi at the
Culloden.
Yes,
it was. They had Wi-Fi at the Culloden Visitor Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we were, and the cafeteria. As soon as we went into the actual museum part of it, it went away. That was all. It makes sense. You know, out of respect, don't keep your nose in your phone. Watch, experience the events, if I'm not mistaken. But it was just weird how literally, like, you cross the threshold and it was gone. Or at least it was spotty. So then we left there and we went into the museum part and did the 360 experience. And
yes, I cried.
Again. Yes, you cried. And I was shocked. I thought I would have. I really thought I would have.
How can you not?
I was moved.
I'm a robot. I've said this a lot.
Summer is a robot, but I am someone, but I have observed and love, and I like watching surgeries. Now, I'm not saying that's related to Culloden, but what I'm saying is I can watch a lot and not be disgusted or not freak out. If it's like, I can't watch scary movie stuff because that's, I don't know why, but that freaks me out. But my point is, the same, what, like this fascination. No, I didn't think Culloden battle was fascinating, but
just
the spirit
it was
of it was, it was very sad, and it was just, no, it was totally sad. It was totally sad.
Well, true to its name, it is in 360, so it's going on all around you. So I would say that part of the reason that I didn't get emotional at it, other than the fact that, like I said, I'm a robot, is the fact that it seemed that every time I would turn to look at a different view, I would turn right in time to see somebody get shot right in the eye. And it took me out of the moment because I started thinking to myself, what are the odds that with the guns they have, they are that accurate of marksmen to, from that distance, literally shoot people in the eye, moving people, not just like standing there sniper style. Like, actively, that's the only shots I saw. I would turn my head, somebody would get shot in the eye. I would turn my head the other way, and somebody would get shot in the eye. And it definitely took me out of it. I started thinking to myself, really?
Jamie didn't seem to have a problem with that in Moby.
No.
Oh,
or Echo.
Wait.
Actually, that's Echo, isn't it?
But, I mean, consistently. I mean, how many people literally died from being shot in the eye? Did we have that on record?
I didn't watch it enough times to get the count.
I saw at least three people get shot.
There
in
were
the
a
eye.
Lot. There were a number.
I had cried and my nose was running, so.
Huh.
I didn't brave the battlefield with my bum knee and my runny nose.
It would have ran more because it was windy,
yep.
And I think we had all four seasons of weather
walk. And it was the first time, I mean, I may have done it once, but it was the first time, probably because we were out there for a sustained amount of time, that I remember, you know, we wore the same, like, getup we all do. We all had jeans on and our nice walking, hiking shoes, whatever, and then layers on top. Well, I had a t-shirt or something, and then I think I had a t-shirt and a fleece and like a rain jacket thing that had a hood. And I had everything buttoned up, zipped up, brought up, pulled down. It was because you're there on the open field, and that's where you're going to get the coldest because there's no protection from the wind. And my nose was running, not because I was crying, but it was definitely, it was very emotional. I didn't cry, but I got tears in my eyes. I got a few tear marks. Now you had a different experience.
Well,
how did you feel about that battlefield?
Well, first I was cold.
We made that clear.
And I had an infinity scarf that I had wrapped around my neck to keep just like my neck warm. And I ended up pulling it over my head, like it was around my neck and over my head to cover my ears because my ears were, that was the part that was suffering the most was my ears and my hands because I didn't have any gloves. But when I first got out there, and we had the luxury of most of the places we went to in Scotland there were not a lot of people. So you
probably
were able,
off season and the hours,
right,
depending on what we did.
So we were able to go places and have these quiet moments and just kind of drink in the surroundings and kind of just feel what was going through our bodies and our minds when we were in that moment. And when the whole thing started, by the whole thing I mean when I walked out on the moor, I was by myself and I was just me by myself. I kind
Again,
of like I walked
even
away
though, from... even though Mandy was sitting back inside. You were outside, Mandy, or inside?
No, I was inside.
She was, okay, that's why I couldn't find you. I thought she was outside on a bench, but I couldn't find her. So even though Mandy was staying inside because of her knee and because of, you know, a runny nose and just being affected by the experience, but she'd already done it. She'd been there before at least twice, right?
I had been there just, you know, last October, so.
Okay, so she'd been there. You already walked the field. You've already had the experience. It's not like you're missing something because you've already done it.
Right.
But she also had a sore knee, so she was like, nah. So, so we know why Mandy's gone. She's excused. We get outside, and I get every... Oh, and we had these...
They give an audio
tour.
Audio tour
with your purchase of ticket or your pass in, your entry fee, you get... You don't have to take it, but it is complimentary, or it's part of your entry fee. You get a self-guided kind of
tour.
GPS, linked to it, which is really cool. Like, when you walk over a certain point, it goes beep beep or something, and it starts.
It was a crazy loud beep. Like, it was a startling beep.
I was like, whoa, let me walk backwards and see if they do it again. But once it went on my ear, it stayed. Mm-hmm. It was hard to put it on my ear. My ears must be crazy weird shaped or just small. I don't know.
They're totally weird shaped.
Thank you. So anyway, so Mandy's excuse. Someone and I are doing this self-guided tour, something rather.
Well, the key here is, and self-guided, I wanted to do it by myself.
I get it, but it's all self when it's your head and you're not talking to.
But I know you.
Hold on. I'm gonna shut up.
I know.
So I look up, and Summer's like 50 yards in front of me. I'm like, seriously, I am left. This is more evidence. I didn't think about this one. I am left alone at every freaking turn. It is not funny.
It was quiet, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to have quiet too. No,
I did want quiet so I could hear my thing.
You mean well, but what would happen is you would start verbally processing the entire experience.
I didn't verbalize anything.
No, but you would have if I'd been standing next to you. You had no one to talk to. You're not going to verbally process by yourself.
I do all the time. It's called sub-vocalization. When I read out loud.
Anyway, my point is, I know you well enough to know that if we had walked that more together, I would not have had a personal experience. I would have had your experience. Not a big deal. It's just what it is. But when I first started off, I took off like I normally do, put my headphones on, and I'm listening to them talk. And there was a father and son, like, a little bit behind me. And I had stopped when one of the dialogues had started, and I was listening to it. And somehow they, like, got ahead of me, but not too far ahead of me. And I just kept thinking, God, I hope that they don't go the same way that I do. So when we got to the first fork in the road, and they were like, the audio was like, you can go left and find out more about XYZ, or you could go straight on and find out about XYZ, whatever. So I waited until they went, and I went the opposite direction. I was like, I'm going away. I want to have this personal moment. I don't want to have anything else to distract me from this. I just kind of want to be in this moment. And as I started walking closer to the line,
the British line or the Scots
line? The Scots line, where the Highlanders were, it started to rain. And it started to rain a lot. And I was like, I'm all the way out here. I'm not turning around. I'm finishing this. You know, I'm so far out now that by the time I would get inside, it would probably stop raining. So I just kept going. So
it's a big size. It's a good size.
And I remember thinking to myself, because as I'd stepped off to look at some of the different stones that were not directly on the path but were right off the path, I was struck by how precarious the ground was. Like, it's not just like flat field. It was like, it's got a bunch of really easy things you could turn an ankle on. And these men are running. They, you know, during a battle, they're running towards each other. And all I could see was I would break my neck just trying to run through this place because it's not flat. It's got holes in it. It was a moor, so there was...
used to be boggy.
Boggy and wetter. I'm like, this was not an ideal place, and I thought it was a very strange place for them to have chosen to have this battle. I did find it interesting that the Scots were called, they called them like Highlanders and Jacobites, and all of the English were called government soldiers. And I found it interesting. I had a lot of feelings about it, but I'm just going to say that I found it interesting.
There were Scots fighting on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the indication of the fact that, depending on who's telling the story,
history's written by the victors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just found it interesting.
So my experience of the battle was... Oh, the battle. Because I lived 200-something years ago. My experience of the battlefield, the moor, was... I had been there before quite a few years ago. And it was pretty much as I remembered it. I did not have the walking tour, the self-guided walking tour. So that was kind of nice. Either the paved way was new... Last time I was there, it was significantly different as far... I just don't think they had the walkway. I don't think they had those flagpoles, the red and the blue. I don't think they had it as organized, but I could be wrong. It's been that long. It was very interesting to me, so I knew what it was like, but it was a new experience, even though I'd already been there. She took off 50 yards ahead of me by the time I looked up. I just went around the whole thing, too, and when we got around past the Scottish side... over to the English, or the government, and then around where those memorial stones were. I took a picture of, I think, every single one. And it, you know, it just, and it was funny, and I posted a picture on Instagram the other day that, I mean, it's very nice that this is there, but it kind of, and it makes sense, especially given Outlander and everything, but it was a little eerie that the Fraser clan stone, memorial stone, had flowers, and it had actually like a nice round, beautiful round white rock in front of it, like a memorial. But yeah, it had flowers, more than one little set of flowers. And so it's just interesting that people are still paying their respects to them, which I think is amazing.
Well, I will say it was the weekend after the Outlander UK gathering in Creef, so there were probably a higher preponderance of Outlander fans around.
Yes, and also I was interesting that I was interested to hear, if I remember correctly, that those memorial stones were only added in the 19th century. They were not there right after the battle.
Yep, it's part of the Victorian kind of rediscovery of Scots history.
So we finished up there, and then after we go back inside. Again, Ginger can't find anybody. So I think by that point, when I had access again, I texted them, or I don't know what I did. I forget.
But
I
bought out the gift shop.
I made a beeline. You guys were not there.
No, we were drinking tea because we were cold.
That's right. Okay, so I went to the gift shop, and I knew I had to get stuff. I got two books.
Giant, heavy tomes.
I bought two books and some paste cards.
Pasties?
Did
they sell those?
No, but I did get some tablets. No, I had you a bit of tablet.
I got
you a
tablet.
So I got two books. I got some postcards. Little coasters that had like a thistle on them. They're really pretty. So anyway, I just got a few tchotchkes and a few things and then went out to find them. And I don't know if we texted each other by then or not, but yeah, so I went out and found them, and I don't think I got anything because we didn't have time. We needed to go on, but they had some tea and all that. And you guys went to the visitor center then, right? I mean, to the shop.
I had already been in the shop by then.
Oh, that's right. You had all that time.
She had like an hour while we were out on the moor.
It seriously took us at least an hour. We were out there for a while. So okay, so but this time in summer you went, right? You had a look
in the gift shop.
Oh, that's right. I asked her to get me a tablet, and she did. So she got a few other things too. And after Culloden, on the way out, I remembered that I wanted to look for the brick or the stone that was inlaid in the ground that was dedicated to Diana Gabaldon and paid for by a donation from the Ladies of Lallybroch. And I don't know the year on it. I don't think it had a year, but it was there just as I remembered. So that was nice. I got a picture of that. And on our way out, is this where you found the cow and you went to go play with it?
I mean, I didn't find it right there. It was right there. Right, I mean, there. You could see it as you drive in the parking lot. There's a field of Highland coos.
So we leave the coos and we go to Clavicairn's. And after a silly little... People are leaving as we are walking up, so we know that it's not closed. But we had a few blonde moments trying to get into the gate.
Ginger doesn't properly understand how to work a kissing gate.
Apparently not. Dang.
She's also never heard of a kissing gate until you called it a kissing gate the last time we talked.
You've never heard that?
No, have you heard of a Sally Port?
Yes.
Oh, well. Have you, Sarah?
No.
I don't think so. There you go. So we're halfway even. Okay. So what was Clava like?
Clava was very, very nice because for the most part, while we were there, no one else was there.
Oh, yeah. There was a group leaving right when we arrived and a group arriving right when
we left.
The perfect timing.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah, so Summer and I took the opportunity to reenact the key art from Outlander at the Cleft Stone at Clava Cairns.
Yes, because we'd intended to do it someplace else, but they were closed.
Yep.
So we were like, let's just do this here. So I got my inner dork on, and we did some posing, and it was a good time. And then I was trying to teach Ginger how to take selfies,
which only
backfired because then everywhere else we went, we would be done and she'd be still down in whatever area it was trying to take a selfie.
Anyone who takes, hopefully, a decent selfie will tell you they may only take, 5 or 10 to get a good one, maybe. But in the years leading up to that, they started off taking like 30 or 50. I didn't think I ever took 50, but I easily took 20. And I still will never, ever, ever publish them. But, yes. So they did the whole reenacting of the whatever, key art, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Summer and I, well, not Summer and I. Well, we both did it on our own way. I stood between two stones and reenacted something, but.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious because I was calling out emotions to her, trying to get her to contort her face in a specific way or to get a specific look on her face.
Sad.
And I couldn't find a word that would appropriately convey what I wanted her to do with her face, which to me said that she didn't spend nearly enough time as a kid in front of a mirror making faces. Because I know that I did a lot of that. So you know what your face looks like, and when you move it, what it's going to do. And she clearly didn't do that, because I'd be like, okay, look happy. No, that's not working. Okay, look sad, look despondent. No, that's not working. Okay, look like, just reach me. Just reach out. Just like you're trying to grab my hand, but you can't reach. Give me that face. Nope, no, just smile. Just smile. So I was cracking up, because I was still taking the pictures, but like every picture was successively a little bit funnier for me.
And a lot of it was a similar face.
Yes, right? It was. There was a lot of the same face. I wondered if your face moved for a little while.
Oh, hey now. So then we did what we did, and then before we left, Summer and I lay under some tree, and that light doodle, oh my gosh. I don't even know if we ever shared that one. You shared the first one.
I gave it to you.
No, I've got it. But I'm not suggesting we share it. I'm just saying I don't know if we shared it. The first time we did a ground fee? A lay down selfie?
Ground fee.
It was, where was that at? Was that Aberdour?
We did it at Aberdour. It was the first place we did it. You didn't like it, so we didn't keep any of them.
We didn't do it together.
Yes, we did, but you didn't like them. So
the only one that I remember, the first one I liked, the first one that you ever published was at
Black Kirk.
Yeah. So that one was nice. This one was...
The Craig Nadeau attempt was really awful.
It was funny.
It's hilarious. I'm not deleting it.
No, I don't.
I'm gonna look at it every day. I need to laugh.
I want you to laugh. I don't want you to delete it because it is one of the
funniest. Well, you know what though?
I can't even ever.
Right after we took it, you immediately were like, "Delete that," and I was like, "Hell no."
Might be the only leverage you have someday.
It will be.
That picture will never be shared. But it is funny as heck, and I'm glad we didn't delete it, because it has brought me much joy.
Dude, like, the most
joy... You're not showing people at work, are you?
Okay. No, the most joy I have is randomly sending it to you in the middle of the day.
But I'll be in one side of the house, and she'll be on the other side of the house. Oh, you weren't even here the night when you did it. I cried so hard laughing. My cats left the room. It was... Redonkulous. It was. I just looked at it and my.
I can't adequately describe.
There is no way to describe it.
Kids, but she may be a gunpoint.
We need
what? No, because there's a slight smile there. Okay, so after Clava Cairns and our amazing ground fee, where did we go next?
We headed to Inverness.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So besides going to Inverness and being able to go, we. Actually had plans to meet up with some Inverness Outlander fans and have a nice little meal. And so we get to Inverness, we have an adventure with parking, right?
Well, yeah, but they were doing, thank goodness for GPSs, because they were doing construction on the floodworks down on the River Ness. And so the way that my GPS wanted me to go was not working because of the construction detours. So anyway... after the construction detour, I finally figured out where we could park, because I remembered where the parking was near the Eden Court Theater. And so we ended up parking there and then walking along the river to the restaurant.
Which was very heavily populated with some very good-looking construction workers. It was a nice walk.
It was a beautiful walk. And, yeah, I didn't mind going all around the place and around obstacles. Because those, yeah, they were pretty cute. And the river, I will never get over that river. The way the city is on either side and so close, it is just gorgeous. It is so picturesque. As a matter of fact, that was the picture I took many years ago that Summer painted our first logo from, unknowingly.
I did.
I still have that picture right now, and the painting. But it is stunning. And so we're walking along this stunning view, and it's still daylight because, you know, it's still early, and we find the restaurant, and we meet up with the Inverness Outlanders, and had a lovely time, and some lovely food, and great drinks.
Speak for yourself.
And I think that was the third time.
Oh, you didn't
like
it?
Haggis.
Oh, no, I wasn't able to drink.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, sorry. The drink spit, yeah.
But that was probably one of my favorite preparations of haggis we had on the trip, other than the haggis blowout that we did in the house. Yeah. But
the haggis pakora.
It was
the
haggis pakora, and it was like a little deep-fried pocket of haggis deliciousness with like a spicy chili curry sauce. And I would not have thought those two flavors went together, but they were delicious.
I sat on my couch last night having a deep, deep-rooted craving for either haggis or Mother India.
I was just thinking about Mother India and how good that food was. Oh, my gosh. That has to be, like, our next time we go, that has to be our first meal the first night again.
First and last.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better. I like that. So we have a great meal. We meet some fantastic, fabulous people. And then are on our way back to the car. And as we leave, what do we see? It's a little misty. It's a little bit of a drizzle.
Giant rainbow.
There's a giant rainbow. And that was double-ended. You saw both ends. Yeah.
And that was after I bought the lottery ticket.
So a beautiful rainbow on the way back to the car. And, I mean, and one of the Inverness Outlanders accompanied us. We were along her way. And, I mean, you just can't have a better ending to a day.
And that was Sinead, right?
Yes,
yeah. Sinead, je suis prêt now.
She's lovely. They were all lovely. I had such a great time that evening. They were all lovely.
But this was like the longest day.
Yes.
Was it really our longest day?
Well, no, because the next day is longer. But
yeah. We get progressively longer. Do you want to stop there? Or did we do anything interesting going back?
Wasn't that the day that I had to make y'all stop talking to me?
I was asleep, so you didn't have to make me stop talking to you.
That last 3 miles from Inverness. Because let me tell you, the A9 coming down from Inverness towards Pitlochry at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, 11, is pretty dark and scary, kind of. I'm not scary in that dangerous, but just trying to make sure that, A, I didn't fall asleep, and, B, to keep an eye out for deer. It was a long drive.
It was a long everything. It was amazing, but yes, it was a lot of driving.
But that last 3 miles, I was like, nope, you can't talk to me. I have to concentrate on staying awake.
Oh, my goodness. So that was day 1, 2, 3, 4. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if you count the Friday. So we get back to the house and basically pretty much go to sleep.
Yeah, I think that was one of the days we fell into bed.
Yeah, that was the day that we did not hesitate. We went straight to bed.
Yep.
So that takes us to Tuesday night.
Oh, my God. You know, it's a feeling I already said this, but it's taking us almost as long to describe this trip as it was to live it.
It's taking us longer. We've already, between episodes Pod Abroad 1 and Pod Abroad Part 2, it's been more than 3 weeks. We were not over there for 3 weeks. Wish we had been.
Mm-hmm.
So that wraps up Part 2 of Pod Abroad. Thank you, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our Audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/OutlanderPod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/OutlanderPod. Or email us at OutlanderPod@gmail.com.